Welcome to Tuesday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here as we continue to come down from the high last night, the big Blue Jays win, and something that no doubt this will be office conversation. This will be text conversation over the next little while. And of course, let's not lose sight of the fact the World Series fires up on Friday. And the Riders are still in the playoffs. Lots of exciting sports ahead for sports fans, that's for sure. Lots actually going on. We know tomorrow is the speech from the throne, so it's the open of the legislature for the fall session here in the province. November the 4th is the day the federal government will bring out its budget. It's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. Lots of people with eyes on what the deficit is going to be. Others suggesting that's not the true story in this budget is where are the investment dollars going to be placed. That really speaks to the priorities that the federal government, of course, will have going forward. And we know that last week, Prime Minister Mark Carney previewed an announcement that is going to be set in stone this week, a highly anticipated criminal justice announcement when it really talks about what needs to be done to combat and limit violent crime, repeat offenders. The government will be tabling legislation this week to amend the criminal code for crimes committed by violent repeat offenders, those accused of serious crimes like violent auto theft, break and enter, human trafficking, assaults, sexual assaults. The legislation also including consecutive sentencing for major crimes, which I love, by the way, restricting conditional sentences for a number of sexual offenses. What does this actually mean for crime in Saskatchewan? Is this good news for us? Are we going to see a tangible difference? I know the Saskatchewan Association of Chiefs of Police, which represent a number of high-profile justice officials in the province, including police services, came out with a news release shortly after the announcement saying that this is good news. And I'm happy that we've been able to catch up with Chief Patrick Nogé this morning. Patrick Nogé, the chief of the Prince Albert Police Service, also the president of the Saskatchewan Association of Chiefs of Police. And I'm glad to welcome Patrick Nogé to the show. Thanks so much for taking the call, Chief.
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. So, obviously, we talk about justice reform, bail reform in various different forms. Were you expecting to hear this announcement? Was this a surprise when this was announced last week?
No, truth be known, it wasn't. We've been following the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police for some time. We participated at a national level, and we know that for a number of years, this has been one of those toxic conversations. So you've heard Commissioner Parikh with the Ontario Provincial Police on numerous occasions as president of the CACP. He's been in front of government. He's been in front of public venues speaking on the need for bail reform. And this is something that resonates for us here in Saskatchewan. So just recently we were gathered together as part of a fall AGM, and I know you have an educated bunch of listeners, and as you mentioned, the SACP represents all the chiefs of police and the municipal agencies, and the assistant commissioner of the RCMP for F Division is also in attendance. So we had, you know, a really good, healthy discussion on top five strategic priorities, one of which is bail reform and violence in our communities.
So let's talk about what was announced and the impact that it potentially could make. So the reverse onus thing, for example. So reverse onus bail for major crimes, meaning it puts on the accused the onus to prove to the court why they should be trusted enough to be released. Do you see this as a tangible difference?
You know, I think the best way of describing it, Evan, is we're cautiously optimistic that this is going to help move the dial in the right direction. You know, at the same time, we know that we've got to demonstrate some prudence in determining exactly how this is going to roll out for us in the province of Saskatchewan. But it really gets down to a discussion, a theoretical discussion on presumption of innocence or guilt. Where do you start? Because arguably from, you know, over time, when we make presentations after we've made an arrest, we make presentations to the Crown with recommendations of how an individual should be handled. Arguably, a lot of the times we've been making a recommendation that the person not be released just because we know of a pattern of activity that puts police officers and the public in risk. We're of the impression that if those individuals are back in those communities that, you know, they will reoffend. And how they reoffend is what we're trying to prevent. So I think we're staying on topic, knowing full well that there's still a lot of work that has to be done. There's still an interpretation of how the legislation will look. So, as I mentioned, I think we're cautiously optimistic that this will help.
Chief Patrick Nogé is my guest, chief of the Prince Albert Police Service, also president of the Saskatchewan Association of Chiefs of Police. Many people saying that unless the government is willing to repeal the principle of restraint, so this is the principle that requires repeat violent offenders be released at the earliest reasonable opportunity and on the least onerous conditions. Lots of critics saying if that doesn't go away, then these changes are going to be for naught. How do you see that, Chief?
Yeah, I think the emphasis there is that, you know, we're looking at violent repeat offenders. And I think maybe some of the discussion that we've had in public is that this is an overarching sweeping that will apply to every individual charge in those circumstances. And maybe it's best to, you know, to flush this out. Maybe it's best to talk specifically of a situation here in the northern part of the province. So I think it'll lead to, and if you can bear with me, I think it'll lead to a better appreciation for what we're attempting or what we need this legislation to actually accomplish. So let me give you, and these are, this is an actual situation that developed in Prince Albert. We have a 31-year-old individual, and that individual from 2019 is no stranger to police. So we have an individual with convictions for mischief, failed to comply, possession of a firearm, unauthorized possession of a weapon, carry concealed weapon, and possession of proceeds of crime. Currently, that individual is still pending and waiting for court resolution on resisting, assault PO, evade police, dangerous operation of a motor vehicle, aggravated assault, robbery, forcible confinement, discharging a firearm, and assaulting a police officer. Now, that's the profile of the individual that we're dealing with. Let's talk about how this new legislation could prevent the situation that unfolded. So in May of 2024, this individual, 31 years old, was convicted of possession of stolen property, carrying a concealed weapon, which was a sawed-off 22 at the time, illegal possession of a firearm, and failing to comply with conditions. So that in itself already signifies that the individual, you know, has not done well in a community environment and was placed on conditions to try and have some measure of accountability applied. In September of 2024, the individual was released on a probation order with a numerous conditions to abstain from the use of alcohol, to not possess any firearms, and a host of other conditions there that were part of that. Now, fast forward to March of 2025. This individual started having, you know, very impactful, negative impact on the community that he was in. And it started with being in possession of a stolen vehicle, at which point in time when an officer tried to stop that vehicle, he backed into the patrol vehicle. An arrest wasn't made. He was able to flee. In a subsequent attempt to stop and pull that vehicle over a couple days later, an officer was dragged from the side of the vehicle, same offender at the time. He was involved in fights from police within a one-week radius, and then eventually had committed an unlawful confinement, aggravated assault, and threats. But this really, the point hits home when in April of 2025, this individual was once again involved in a evade police situation and ended up discharging a firearm at a patrol car. A round was taken. Thankfully, no officers or any members of the public were harmed or injured. But this really is the essence of the story that's being told.
Yeah, it's, I mean, people listening to what you just laid out, Patrick, are no doubt shaking their head this morning as they sip their coffee. That, I mean, that is ridiculous that you know, a person with a history that tells the story that it does can be released and create that much havoc in the community. And I mean, we see this time and time again. There are a lot of critics of this bail reform that is rolling out this week, saying that there isn't data to support this. Do we have strong data? We've got lots of the anecdotal stories, like you just told, Chief, but do we have data to back this up?
Yeah, you know what, 100% full disclosure on this is I still think that there's work to be done. I think that what you've seen from law enforcement across the country is we've reacted to certain situations where clearly, as I just mentioned, clearly there's a case to be made. But there is a need to do a deeper analysis. And I think that's where we're paying a little bit of attention, especially in the province of Saskatchewan, when we meet from the agencies. It was part of our fall AGM when we talk about intelligence sharing, when we talk about statistical analysis of what's going on. There's still work there to be done. What's the correlation between individuals when they're being released, when they have patterns of criminal history, and when they reoffend? What's the impact? And I'm confident that we do have the ability, especially with the use of AI. Boy, there's a new topic for you. Especially with the use of AI, to start saying, listen, is there any way that we can be better or sharper with respect to predictions of individuals reoffending if they're let back in the community?
Patrick Nogier is my guest, Chief of Police for the Prince Albert Police Service, President of the Saskatchewan Association of Chiefs of Police. So a couple of other things that will be announced and in the legislation: consecutive sentencing. So those people who commit multiple crimes, spending more time behind bars, if someone is sentenced to, you know, a 7 and then a 5-year sentence for separate offenses, they could do the full 12 years behind bars. I love this. I think it's long overdue. And then the restriction of conditional sentences for a range of sexual offenses, those types of things, were they in the suite of bail reform changes that the SACP was lobbying for?
I think it really dovetails into the discussion and violence within our communities, especially in Saskatchewan, the Prairie Provinces, for that matter. We talk about intimate partner violence. We know what that's, you know, the one-to-one ratio there with sexual misconduct in those situations, the assault component to it. So, you know, we need to dive into those areas here and make sure that we're talking about some type of deterrence that we're trying to have, you know, by virtue of our justice system. So we need to come up with a better way of making sure that people, if they're going to be held accountable, know that there's going to be ramifications for illegal activity.
What about mandatory minimums? And that's a topic that often comes into conversation and often has a bit of a political tinge to it as well. Is that something that needs to be revisited?
I think it does. When it comes to, once again, the focus is on repeat violent individuals. And that's where the focus has to be. You know, the court system is there and it's meant to rehabilitate in certain circumstances and provide people. We all know that we're human and we know that there's errors and mistakes that are made. And we want to give individuals the opportunity to change their ways and be productive within the community again. But for those individuals that just choose to fall back into that activity that causes concern in our communities, victimization and trauma within our communities, we have to get a little more heavy-handed. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think we're going to be losing the battle.
You know, I noticed another provision in the bail reform package is imposing harsher penalties for organized retail theft. We see lots of stories that emanate from either down east or the United States, but there have been a few in Saskatchewan as well. Is this becoming a bigger problem in our province?
I think we're continually hearing from our business owners about the impact that crime is having. And, you know, I know that what frustrates business owners is that we go theft under, theft over, but you can have a series of theft under situations that will have an immediate impact on your bottom dollar and your ability to have a good business within the community. And what really concerns us is our inability from law enforcement perspective is an inability to make a real difference in those areas. So if we can maybe frame it under the context that this is organized, you know, and we shouldn't underestimate the criminal element to know that, listen, instead of doing one heist worth $1 million, I'll do 100 heists at $1,000 and, you know, we'll get close to the same results on it. So one will go on fly underneath the radar and the other one will have attention drawn to it. So I think we need to be alive to those discussions. And if there is any suggestion whatsoever that, you know, theft is somehow linked to organized criminal activity, whether it be from a street gang, an outlaw motorcycle gang, or any gang for that matter, we need to pay attention and we need to react accordingly.
Chief Patrick Nogier is my guest. Before I let you go, maybe this is a tough question to answer, but if you had the ability to tweak something, to make an adjustment, something in the system to improve safety in our province, what would it be, Chief?
You know what? I'm going to answer that with what have we done? You know, it's easy to shoot for things, but let's take a look at some of the things that we have accomplished in this province right now. And yesterday we had the unveiling of a gun lab that is going to significantly have an impact on helping us solve crime as it pertains to the illegal use of firearms in our community. So let's focus on the things that will make a big impact. That lab will make an impact for law enforcement, and as a result, we'll have safer communities in Saskatchewan.
Chief Nogier, always appreciate having you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Thanks again, Evan. Anytime.
Chief Patrick Nogé, chief of the Prince Albert Police Service. He's president of the Saskatchewan Association of Chiefs of Police, who came out with support saying this is good news. This is moving us in a positive direction. The bail reform announcement that came out earlier this week, or I should say late last week, and will be officially brought in as legislation this week. Does it go far enough? Does it get us where we need to go? Is it just skimming the surface? I actually have seen a couple of people already on the text line weighing in. It's about sentences. It's about how the judges respond to what they're hearing. It's a good topic of conversation. I want to take a break. We're going to come back. Phone lines and text lines will open up. I know I'm getting a lot of Blue Jays stuff, so always happy to talk about the Jays, but I am curious to know if you think that this latest wave of bail reform is going in the right direction, or does it miss the mark completely? Your thoughts when we come back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.